Have your Bibles this morning. Turn with me in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 17. You see, there's so much focus on Jesus Christ and the cross. You know, we even have a pagan holiday that celebrates that called Easter. Easter is not in Scripture. Easter is not in the Bible. It's not there. It's something that man decided they would do to try to glorify God. But you see, God is not impressed with our seasons. He's not impressed with all the traditions that we do to try to praise him and show him our honor and glory. The way that we're to show God honor and glory is how we live our life. See, he takes something that's unrighteous and he makes it righteous. Okay, so, you know, we sometimes fool ourselves into thinking that we're pleasing to God and we're pleasing God. Sometimes it's just we think that just because we show up and we're here that somehow God is pleased with that. And I'm here to tell you that God is not pleased with that. God is not pleased with your presence this morning in this place. His pleasure is if you came with the right heart, the right mind, and you could not wait to get in here to praise and worship him instead of fellowship. If you're more excited about going to a Kentucky basketball game or a concert or playing golf or going hunting than coming into worship, then you have a problem that you need to ask God, why am I more excited about things of this world than you? And I'm talking to children of God here. I'm not talking to the lost world, because the lost world is not going to understand what I'm saying. But for a child of God to come to the place of worship and this not be the forethought on his mind, that he can't wait till I say, let's worship, that they can't wait to get in here. You know, and you may be sitting in a pew and worrying about all these other things, and God says, no, this is my time. You have 6 days to bring your burdens to me. You have 6 days to do all your work and all that junk that you think fills your life with so much stuff. But said, this day is a holy day. This is my day. This is a day of rest that I know that you need. This is a day of reflection that I know that you need. This is a day that you need to come worship me, which is you need. God doesn't need it. See, we come with expectations to worship him, but we're the ones that actually get something. But God doesn't need it. We do. Listen to this in Matthew chapter 5, because I think this is one of the greatest deceptions of Satan, is what he's done to God's word in this thing here. It says, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. So Jesus is telling them that you need to understand that God's laws are important. See, the first covenant was based upon the fact that man had to keep all of those laws to be in right relationship with Almighty God. The reason God wrote that was to show us that that can't be done in the flesh. That there's no possible way to please God in the flesh. And so he wrote laws. He wrote the laws to tell us how we're to relate to one another, how to relate in our own lives, and most of all, how to relate to him. He starts it out with, I am a jealous God, have no other gods before me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. That doesn't mean we stand back there in fellowship or we come here with some with burdens in our heart. It means that we come here with the only focus and our purpose coming here is to worship him. See, just because you're saved, he doesn't say, I took away all of those commandments from you. He said, you just didn't have to keep them to be saved. He said, I'm going to give you a helper so that you can keep the commandments, so you can walk in faith to please me. See, we live in a world that says, no, just because I acknowledge God, or just because I worship Jesus, well, you know, we're supposed to worship God through Jesus, not worship Jesus. Sounds kind of bad, doesn't it? But that's what the world has been taught, and that's the lie. Jesus never took anything from God. Jesus never took the focal point and the glory and the honor from Almighty God, but Jesus said, it's through me that you will worship and have that relationship with God. See, people just want a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I can tell how your relationship with Christ is, because if it doesn't lead to your worship, then you don't have much of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ always pointed to God. He always pointed to the glory of God. So I don't know what relationship you think you have, but if it doesn't bring worship to Almighty God, then you don't have the right relationship. You've got some other false Jesus that you've grabbed hold of, and you're going to die and go to hell. I'll put it very bluntly this morning. If you don't have the Jesus that's written in the Word of God and understand what the purpose of Jesus was, then you don't have the right Jesus. He didn't come to abolish the laws. He didn't come to say that, you know, no, homosexuality is still wrong. Abortion is wrong. Not coming here with a proper attitude and worship is wrong. Speeding down the highway is wrong. Not submitting yourself to your governing bodies is wrong. Not loving your neighbor as yourself is wrong. See, he didn't abolish all of that. He didn't say, I save you. Now go live your life any way you want. Matter of fact, the Bible is contrary to that and says that, you know what? You're not your own. You've never been your own. Satan tells you your own. Satan tells you have your own relationship with Jesus, and you work it out the way you want with Jesus, and it's a personal relationship that allows you to live any way you want. That's not what God left us. That's not biblical. Okay? That's man-made, I think this is what God said, instead of, no, this is what God says. See, we need to each, in every one of us, look each day inwardly and say, what relationship do I have? Why is it that when I come to worship, there's other things on my mind that's more important than worshiping Almighty God? See, we don't have this down. We don't have this perfected. You see, and this is a neat thing about it, I don't have to, because God will perfect it in me. If. You know the ifs of God? If you come Him with a pure heart, a pure desire to know who He truly is. You see, He doesn't cast the seeds. They get scattered out just routinely, but it's only on the seed where it falls upon the good soil that produces good fruit. See, your prayer should be, God, till the soil. God, prepare the heart. Father, make me that you can plant your seed in that will grow fruit for you and your kingdom. Not for me, not for my glory, but God, for your glory. See, we've been lied to for so long. We've listened to men standing in a pulpit lying to us Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, having their own agendas to build their own churches, to add another degree to their belt. It's sad. But see, you can't blame them, because God wrote the Word here, and what's keeping you from being in the Word and asking God to reveal it to you? See, you can't blame them. See, it's each and every one of us. The revelation comes through the Spirit of God, and God gives it to whom He pleases. You can't get this. I can't give this to you. And if you're sitting here right now and not engaging in the Holy Spirit, do you not even know how you're supposed to listen? I don't even think we've even been taught how to listen to a message from God. Are you up here agreeing with me and disagreeing with me, or are you in the Spirit asking God to reveal truth to you in what you need? See, most people want to critique how I speak or words I mispronounce and pay very little attention to any truth. Is he articulate? Is he smart? Does he have shingles on his wall that says he's been taught by man? I know a fairly large church ourselves just got a new pastor, and I was talking to the gentleman on the pastor search committee, and he said, "Oh man, I just know this is the man God wants for us." I said, "Well, tell me a little bit about him." "Oh, he's smart. Oh, he's so intelligent. Oh, this guy is so vibrant. And he answered all of our questions right." You are the temple of God. And you are responsible for taking care of that temple. The temple. They hurt the temple of God. Now, eating is the same way. If you're overeating and you're glutton. Now, don't get me wrong. This covers it all. It's amazing how God covers it all. See, we are the problem. God wrote down. You know that abundant life that he promises us? You know why we don't have it? Do you know why, for one moment, why we don't have the abundant life? Because we don't do it the way he says it has to be done. We make our own way. We'll come to just part of the service instead of all the service. Or we'll engage in, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll just, I'll catch part of it, but I won't catch the other part of it. God doesn't work like that. I don't know where we've gotten so deceived in the fact that we think that God is so loving that he's more loving than he is holy. Jesus said, "I didn't come to abolish the laws. I came to fulfill the laws. I came so that the laws could be fulfilled in you through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, that God doesn't leave you where he finds you." See, God is, it's incredible how loving he is, the fact that he would even allow us to be associated with him. There's nothing in the human heart that God needs or God wants. You got that? There's not one thing in the human heart, mind, or flesh that God wants or needs. That's why he had to send his son, Jesus Christ, because he condemned us in the state that we were in. And so there's a wrath coming. And he said, "But I love them so much that I am going to do gracious and merciful things to evil men. I'm going to send my son, and he will pay the penalty and the price for sin. And we're going to lift him up. He's going to become sin so that evil may become the righteousness of God." Amazing story. Amazing. You see, so if you're coming to Jesus just to go to heaven, you've got the wrong Jesus. This Jesus does not care about heaven. He cares about righteousness and holiness and the glory and respect and honor of Almighty God. And that's what is supposed to be given to you. See, that's who we're supposed to be. It's not what we're doing, but who we are. So as he answered all these questions, he answered all the questions right. And I said, "Well, tell me a little bit more about him." "Well, he's from Mississippi, and he's got a 6-month-old baby." Guess what? This isn't the man that God has for that church. You know how I know? Because God wrote qualifications for the under-shepherd, and they have to have children that believe. See, a man of God is tested. A man that stands up in the pulpit is supposed to be tested by life. This man hasn't raised a child yet. He don't know what waits for him. He has no idea what that child's going to do to him and how it's going to change his life. How can he counsel someone to raise a child or a teenager that's struggling when they haven't struggled through those years? Oh, it's easy to pull out scripture and say, oh, do this, do this, do this. But man, unless you've walked through it. It doesn't matter if you got 9 checkpoints. If you don't have all 10, you're not the man that God has called. Do you understand that? But yet this church is so concerned about the biggies, abortion, drinking, homosexuality, women deacons. They even went as far as we did women deacons, because most of the Baptist churches now, hey, let's why not? Why not? Everybody's doing it. God didn't strike anybody dead, so let's do it. It's contrary to God's word. It's what you have to look at, whether it's right or not. And if you got 9 checkpoints and the 1 checkpoint, which is probably the most important checkpoint, that you don't have children that believe, means that you haven't lived your life in a manner that your children see and God grants salvation to them. Doesn't mean the man lived a perfect life. It means that his kids got to see God correct him through his life. It's not the man. See, he didn't come to abolish the laws. He came to fulfill them so that you and I could walk in them. Not by our own efforts, but by the efforts that the Holy Spirit puts upon us. Listen to what he says. Truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until it's accomplished. This is how, what he means about this. This is how serious this is, actually is, that we pay attention to what the laws of God are in our life. And if the laws of God are not important in your life, then you may have something different and you don't have a true relationship and a true salvation. You've got a man-made one. And that's the greatest deception right now, is that Satan is deceiving folks all over that they're okay with God. You see, it's not what we do that makes us worthy. It's who God made us that makes us worthy. See, our actions doesn't put us in heaven. The born-again experience does. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to the same should be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them should be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We have preachers all over not upholding and not expounding the word of God to the congregations that God has put before them. And they're not going to be able to blame the preacher. You have the same word of God that I got. And you got the same Holy Spirit that I got. But you may not have the same desire that I have. But where did you get your desire? I asked God for it because I told him I didn't really care if anybody went to heaven or hell. I was excited that I was going to heaven, and I really didn't have a desire whether you went or not, because I knew where I was going. But God changed that. Now I care about your souls. But like our lesson, people aren't going to listen. It doesn't matter what God wrote in the Word of God. We're going to change it. We're going to change it, and we're going to make it to what we want, to make us feel good, to get through life. And then when we stand before him, he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Cast to where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth." You know why there's wailing and gnashing of teeth? Because these are the people that thought they were okay with God, because they based it on everything other than the born again experience and the impregnation, the receiving of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if you don't have that, you're not a child of God. Whoever then annuls at least one of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least the kingdom, and whoever keeps and teaches. It wasn't just teach. You understand? Sometimes we go through verses very quickly and we forget exactly what the verses are saying. Just like, you know, love your neighbors yourself. That's not what God said at all. He did not say love your neighbors yourself. That is not the principle. But see, religion makes that the principle. Love your neighbor. No, he said love your neighbor as yourself, which is something you can't do. You can't love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Then you wouldn't throw that garbage into the poor bins, and no, you'd go out and buy brand new clothes for those folks, so that's what you do for yourself. Now you got it. You keep your garbage and you give the new stuff to everybody else. Now you got it. Okay? See, what we do is we throw our junk away and we go buy ourselves new stuff. And we think we're loving the neighbor. No, he said, love the neighbor as yourself. That's different. That's, oh. See, so you got to understand, when it says to teach, it says, then that one who teaches needs to also keep. So if you're a teacher, you need to be example. If you're a deacon, you need to be an example. You are called out one. People are looking at you. Wow. Comes with responsibility. Do you realize that? If God gives you children, he's going to hold you accountable that you don't teach them truth about who God is. Wait a minute. This ain't the Jesus I came for this morning. Where's that Jesus that said he loves me regardless of what I do and what I say and how I am? Where's that Jesus at? Well, he's not here. Okay? He's down the road. You turned into the wrong parking lot this morning. Because that Jesus doesn't live here. That's a fake Jesus that Satan has made up so that you would grab that Jesus so that you would never see God. For I say to you that unless your righteousness, listen to this. He goes on to say, for I say that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. So how does our righteousness surpass that of the Pharisees? These people, they were taught by men. They had the highest educations that you could get at this time. They had all the scriptures memorized. Man, these folks were smart. But they weren't God's people. Because they had a righteousness of their own that separated them from God. See, the way that the righteousness, my righteousness surpasses their righteousness is if I give up my righteousness and take on his righteousness. See, and Scripture explains scriptures. He who knew no sin became sin that we might have the righteousness of God. So that's what it's talking about here. See, if you don't put these together, see, that's what the Holy Spirit does for you when you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you versus man teach you. Please throw all those books away that man wrote. Please pick up the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures that God wrote. If you're serious about this, and you better be, because God sent his son as a warning so that you wouldn't perish, not because he just loved you, but he loved you with a purpose, and that was not to leave you the way he found you. God, who saves someone, never leaves them how he found them. It's impossible. You cannot have the Holy Spirit in you and walk as the world and talk as the world, and be like the world, and have no desire for Almighty God. Especially the worship. See, that's why you can gauge your relation, where you are and your maturity level with God, is how you come into worship. See, that's how, it's not to be ugly, it's to tell you that we all have work to do. I have work to do. I know how, I have a job. This is not my main profession. I don't get to sit in my office all day long and play like most of the other pastors do and do whatever they do all day long. I got a job. I work 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week sometimes. I know what it's like to struggle out there. I know what it's like to deal with folks out there. I know what it's like to have doubts. I know what it's like to have fears. I know what it's like to get angry at God. I know what it's like to... But through all of that, God teaches us who He is, because He's merciful. If we have the right heart and the right motives, and that is to glorify Him and to not sin against Him. Look at John 14. We begin in verse 22. It says, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? He just asked a simple question. We talked last Sunday that Jesus was going to disclose himself, that, you know, if you abide in him, he abides in you. And you remember when they asked, well, show us God. And Jesus said, man, you've seen me, you've seen him. His character, I am the fleshly resemblance of God's character. You see, it's easier to go on a mission trip than to have the fruits of the Spirit. It's easier to go to the food bank than have the fruits of the Spirit. It's easier to write a check to the church than to have the fruit. See, it's all about character. Because see, the character is what should dictate our actions, and our actions will never give us the character. Do we have that? Your actions will never give you the character. But your character should dictate your actions. So you just answered a question. It's amazing, this answer, because this is not the answer that you would expect. Listen to what he says. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, I'm going to say, how many of y'all in here love Jesus? Well, of course, every one of y'all have been taught since this tall to say you love Jesus, but I'm here to say you don't love Jesus. And this is not to be mean. This is to show you that you have been deceived, and I have been deceived all these years, because here's how I know you don't love Jesus. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. So you can't be a homosexual and love Jesus. Now Jesus will love you and take you from a homosexual state to not be a homosexual. He'll take you from a glutton and not let you be a glutton. You see, you got to take all those problems that you have, instead of Jesus just working them out, that Jesus doesn't exist either. What Jesus does is shed lights on where you struggle, and he's waiting to help you get through those struggles. You see? So you have a problem with worship. You can't get in here on time. Well, you need to take that to God and say, God, I don't know why I don't love you this much. You see, because I'm supposed to love you more than anything in this world, and truly, honestly, I want to love you, but I don't love you more than I love myself. Why don't we be honest? Because that's where it begins, folks, is being honest with God, because he already knows. And he wrote this so that we would find that about ourselves. Again, not to beat us up. Satan wants, and religion wants to beat you up. This relationship wants to set you free. So now that when I confess my sins before God, he heals me, because I say, God, I've been faking it. God, you know what the freedom is when you confess that, God, you're faking it? And you stand before him naked and bare. God, because he already knows, he just wants you to come to the realization of it. So he goes on to say, you'll keep my word. In other words, if you love me, you're going to do what I say. Matter of fact, Jesus, even another passage of scripture says, I'll be your friend. No. Darn, why do they keep writing? Why didn't he just say that Jesus is my friend? See, then I'm okay with all this garbage that the world's teaching you. But Jesus says, I'll be your friend if you do what I say. So then it connects with this verse that says, and my Father will love him. So the God is not going to love you in the way that you think he loves you unless you're obeying him. Did you catch this? Let's read again. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. You want to know why you don't feel the Spirit of God in your life? Because you're not using the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to keep God's commandments. And the greatest one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. See, when we do this, then he comes to us. He doesn't come to us, and again, we're talking to children of God, okay? You that are lost aren't going to understand this, okay? I mean, people that, you're not going to understand this. You're going to want to hang on to that other Jesus that they're teaching. I'm talking to the church this morning. Who's living like the world? He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. I hope you understand that the words that I preach each Sunday are not mine, but those which were written by Almighty God. Paul didn't say it. I hate it when people say, would you hear what Paul said? Paul didn't say it. Matthew didn't say it. Mark didn't say it. Luke didn't say it. Isaiah didn't say it. God said it. And Jesus goes ahead again and tell you, don't hang up on me. Get past me. I'm not telling you this stuff because this is my own ideas. I'm only telling you what God told me to tell you. And God told me to tell you because he loves you. And he doesn't want you to perish. But you're going to perish if you don't do it the way God said do it. God has strict principles and strict truths that are not, he's not going to budge on. He doesn't give you a second, third, and fourth, and fifth, and sixth chance. When your heart stops beating, there is no purgatory you go to. That's all a lie. God expects every day that you live that you're moving toward him in repentance and living a life of repentance. He expects that. Again, not the Jesus you want, not the Jesus that holds me accountable. Not the Jesus that expects me to act a certain way. But he goes on to say, these things I've spoken to you while abiding with you. I'm here right now. I'm telling you these things. I'm going to write them down. They didn't read that. Jesus was telling them exactly what I just told you. And then when he went, he had the Holy Spirit use these men to write these words down so that you and I would know where we stand before God. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said. You don't have to memorize Scripture, folks. Live it. If you're memorizing Scripture, that's bad. That's bad. Because when it's written on your heart, it's real, it's true, it's who you are. you memorize it, I don't have to have good character to memorize Scripture. I can be the evilest man on this earth and still have Scripture memorized in my head. But if it's written on my heart, then it's going to direct my head. Because there's a power greater than me that's going to bring it to remembrance when I need it. And not be deceived by this world and the prince of this world, and that is Satan. I'm going to stop there. I'm out of time. Because I know I can't go past 12. For some reason, just can't go past 12. People just get hungry, and they don't listen anymore. So I got to stop at 12. Because we're wondering now, we're going to make our reservations. And can we beat the crowd? So I got to stop. This is truth. I may never get to preach before thousands. But I'm preaching before you. And if we each live our life as God has called us to live, then we'll reach thousands. That's how this works. I love you. And I want your life to be full. I don't want you to be entangled by this world. But if South Elkhorn does not put God first in worship, we'll never become anything. And I'm talking about each and every member here. I don't even like to use members of South Elkhorn Baptist Church, because you can be a member of South Elkhorn Baptist Church and be lost. I want to talk to the children of God this morning. We need to pray that we become a house of worship. Will you pray with me? Will you pray with me that we become a house of worship? And we become true worshipers of Almighty God, that we worship in spirit and truth. And so when it's time to worship, that each and every one of us are here to worship, that soon as it's time that we as a body come together and worship together, is that too much to ask? Because that's what God requires. Each of us that are children of God need to be here and prepare for worship each Sunday, or we'll never be anything.